Ski jumping, Japanese warlords, and a night out gone slightly awry. It sounds like the makings of another hangover movie, but in fact, these are the subject matters of three different films on at the cinema this week. Those titles are Victoria, Eddie the Eagle, and Ran. And to shed some light on them, I'm joined by film critic Karen Krzanovich. That's all ahead on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. Everyone's talking about a brand new one-shot film called Victoria. The German thriller depicts a night out in a club which soon descends into a fast-paced heist as our protagonist, Victoria, falls in with the wrong crowd. The whole film is shot in one take, a fact that has been vastly advertised in the build-up to the release. Karen, welcome to the show. And before we start our filmic conversation, I'd like to hear a clip from our first film.
Sona, I want to go with you.
Bad guy, I did a bad thing, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
I'm gonna take the baby because we need your help.
Okay, take it!
An audio sampler of the movie Victoria, directed by Sebastian Schipper. Now, Karen, there's been a lot of buzz about this film. Why?
Well, there have been sort of the mythic idea of the one-take film. I mean, it has been done before, actually, but it not successfully, usually. I mean, and I think Schipper, this is his fourth film, actually, has planned this meticulously. In fact, it took him three goes to make this film. And it's kind of divided. A lot of people like it. A lot of people don't like it. They find it rather empty or vacuous or incredibly gripping and in real time and moving. But whatever it is certainly a technical achievement.
And is this something that really is mostly driven by filmmakers wanting to push themselves, or do they really believe that it changes the cinema experience?
I think they do. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock tried it 67 years ago. And it, also, we remember that, for example, in Children of Men or in The Revenant, we've got these sort of seamless long takes that are actually edited together, whereas this one, I don't believe, had any edits, was actually planned as one continuous shot. And we're trying to bring cinema to a more immediate reality. We're trying to make it more like life.
In terms of the film itself, your sort of heart just races listening to that clip and watching the trailer. How does it succeed or not as a thriller?
Well, it's kind of a thriller chase scene. I mean, there's a few little bits and bobs. For example, why this beautiful girl would sort of agree to get involved with a heist. You know, when I go to a club, I kind of try to avoid robbing a bank. But, you know, it is tense. It's quite emotional. And the fact that it's paced a certain way does lend a lot of feeling, particularly to the end. The end will really have you gasping.
Tell us a little bit about the director.
Well, the director actually was formerly an actor. In fact, he was in Run, Lola, Run, which I thought was kind of interesting. But this is his fourth film, and he's got together Friedrich Lau, hope I'm saying the name right, award-winning German actor who's long experienced, and of course the Spanish actress primarily for TV, Laia Costa. This film has won a Silver Bear for outstanding cinematography at Berlin, and has won actually quite a few awards here and there for its technical achievement, particularly for its cinematography.
And the story itself, where does it take the viewer?
Oh, well, I mean, we're going throughout Germany. And in fact, I've got the locations. Victoria was shot in one continuous take from 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. on the 27th of April, 2014, in Kreuzberg and Mitte neighborhoods. So it's really very condensed. And there's a lot of discussion about how could they have done this? How could actors have not wanted to go to the bathroom or something ridiculous? Well, actors have been going on stage for hours and not having a problem for many, many years. So it is quite interesting technically that it isn't with it isn't outside of people's reach to do this.
And I understand that affected the script or lack of it. There was a lot of improvisation.
Huge. I think there's only 12-page script, if I remember correctly. And it you have to, if you're going to shoot something like this, you have to have improvisation. Because if somebody doesn't remember their line or something, as long as they get the vague content right, it works. And I think it's actually more immediate anyway. And I do feel that Victoria, while it isn't, it isn't the kind of film that I would say, oh, I'm going to go and see this. It is very effective, and I would urge people to see it, at least from a technical standpoint.
Well, Victoria picked up the Silver Bear for cinematography at the Berlin Film Festival, where it premiered last year. It's currently out in cinemas in the UK and will hit Japanese screens next week. Our second film today is the new British comedy to hit cinemas, Eddie the Eagle. Now, many will know the story of the unlikely ski jumper with an abundance of self-belief, which took him to the 1988 Calgary Winter Olympics. Now, actor-turned-director Dexter Fletcher has turned the story into a feel-good comedy starring Hugh Jackman and Taron Egerton. To kick off our conversation, let's hear a clip from the film. Here's Eddie the Eagle, who's taking part in a television press conference before the Olympics.
I know there are plenty of athletes more deserving of publicity than me. And I would like to apologise if my silly antics have cast a shadow over their achievements. But I take jumping very seriously. In fact, I love it.
Which is why I've decided to compete in the 90 metres.
What?
But as people much wiser than me say, competing in the Olympics doesn't mean anything if you sell yourself short.
I didn't come here as a novelty act.
And I will not be going home as one.
That was a little clip from the film Eddie the Eagle. Now, Karen, for those who are not familiar with Eddie, can you set him up? And why is this a good topic for the movie treatment?
Heaven's sakes. Well, we're always interested in sports and underdogs and achievement and failure. And Eddie the Eagle Edwards' story, where he wanted to become an Olympic athlete and he wasn't very good at anything, discovered that Britain hadn't had a ski jumping team for many, many years. He thought, well, I'll be the one-man ski jumping team.
As one does.
As one does. Look for a hole. And he ended up going to the Olympics. He did. This is not a spoiler. And sort of, I suppose, people thought he was a little bit of a joke, as he said in this clip. But I think the interesting thing about the real story, and I think it only has like 10 to 15% of truth in the film, actually, if I remember correctly, is that it's really a story about achievement of your own rather than recognition. And I think that that's quite important. I mean, I'm not a huge, huge fan of this story particularly, but I thought it was effective for what it did.
Now, tell us a little bit about Taron Egerton's performance in it, who plays, of course, Eddie the Eagle.
Yes. Well, if you've seen Kingsman, you will have seen Taron Egerton, who was the lead in that. He's a Welsh actor, and many are really saying he's sort of the future great of the UK. I found that throughout the film, he's kind of gurning a lot. He's wearing a silly mustache, and he's kind of showing his teeth, and he's being very, very comedic. But actually, toward the end of the film, he settles in a bit, and Hugh Jackman is a wonderful playoff for him. Gets quite emotional, and you start really believing it and really getting sucked in. But it is comedy, it is pacey, and you can't take it too seriously.
And you say the word comedy. Quintessentially British comedy, will it translate?
No, it's more slapstick, really. It's more, you could understand it. I could see it with subtitles, wouldn't be a problem. But I think the attitude towards sports is very British. He may not be able to win against other people, but he can win against himself.
Now, you mentioned Hugh Jackman. What's his role in this film?
This is a condensed role for him. He's not playing a real person. He's playing Eddie's trainer, who was... Oh, nope, not gonna say a spoiler. But it's surprising to see him. He's amazingly crisp and funny. Of course, we know that he can do anything. He can do comedy perfectly well.
Sing.
And sing and dance and do everything, basically. But I think that Dexter Fletcher, whose previous films are Sunshine on Leith, which is a musical, and Wild Bill, which is a light drama, acquits himself well and gives the actors something to go on. But this is a feel-good family film that you could certainly take your children to.
Well, Eddie the Eagle hit cinema cinemas in the UK, Belgium and Indonesia, amongst others, this weekend, and is rolling out in cinemas around the world over the coming months. Our final film today is a re-release of the 1985 Oscar-winning Japanese film Ran from the legendary Akira Kurosawa. This retelling of Shakespeare's King Lear depicts a bloodthirsty warlord entering retirement who decides to leave his land to his three sons, which results in the entire kingdom at war. Karen, why this re-release now?
Well, it's time to start bringing these classics back into 4K. And 4K also has some interesting future plans for it, because so many of us are getting larger televisions and better resolution televisions. And also, I think Sony has got a system where they're rolling out 4K restorations for a lot of their back catalog. So a 35mm film has a lot of information on it, and 4K grabs all of it, which is really interesting, and gives you these amazing images, crisp, defined. In fact, they did Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove in 2007, you could see the wires holding up the model planes. And they were thinking, oh, should we take those out? I'm not sure. Sorry. But they left them in. So I think now is the time to bring this kind of a classic back. There's more interest in Kurosawa's work.
And of course, Kurosawa being such a master of filmmaking, something as cinematic and as this. Tell us about the color and the richness that you'll see in this film.
Oh, it's just, it's deep. There's blood and there's textures, the trees and the backgrounds, also the textiles that they're wearing. You know, the detail that Kurosawa put into all of his work is amazing, and you get to see so much of it. Now, I saw this when it first came out, and I remember thinking, it's pretty good. But seeing it again in 4K just blew me away. If you enjoyed Lawrence of Arabia's 4K resolution restoration a couple years ago, you will certainly eat this with a spoon. This is absolutely amazing, and every review that I've been reading of it has agreed with me, saying that this is actually a real event movie. You really want to go and see this on the big screen, because it will remind you what cinema is all about.
The film itself, a great classic. Kurosawa made it when he was 75, but he didn't always have a kind of happy relationship with film and as a filmmaker, did he?
No, he didn't. And I think that this is the case for a lot. I mean, Tarkovsky as well. Filmmaking is very difficult. It's a hard mistress, and he's often running into financial problems, time problems,
producers. Begging for budgets.
Begging. And it's amazing to think that somebody of this amazing talent had to beg. And these films are timeless. It doesn't matter what kind of film you like, you will like Ran. It's amazing.
Well, as we mentioned, Ran has been released in 4K in France and the USA and out today in the UK. And of course, this classic you can also see in its original form on DVD. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Karen Krasanovich. Don't forget to tune into The Cinema Show tonight at 20:00 hours UK time, when Ben Ryland will be speaking to Robert Gordon, director of the political documentary Best of Enemies. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. We'll be back at the same time on Monday to discuss this year's Art Basel Hong Kong with Ossian Ward. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.